I was thinking about the Apostle John when the Lord appeared to him, and the Lord would say this, "Come up hither." Remember, he heard that voice like a trumpet behind him, you know? He said, "Come up hither." When the Lord talks to you, now that's King James-ish, you know what I mean? We would say it like this, "Hey, come up higher," okay? And today, God is in the lifting business. God wants to lift us up. Amen? I want you to say this with me. God wants to lift me up. Another way of saying that is the Lord wants to build you up. He wants to lift you up. He wants to build you up. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what God's doing in Sean, and He's doing in all of us here. He's lifting us up. Last week we began to talk, and I want to read first of all Galatians, the third chapter. Look at verse 13 and 14. And we're talking about the subject redeemed. Christ hath, or we would say has, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Say, that's me. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now jump down to verse 29. Galatians 3 and verse 29. It says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're talking about the subject of redemption, redeemed. That's what we're calling this subject right now. And it's important that we understand that when you come into Jesus, you come into the kingdom of God and you receive Jesus, you know, you believe on Him. The Bible says that Christ hath or has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I want to read another translation. This is a paraphrase. It's called the Mirror Translation. Okay? Do you have that back there, brother? Josh? The Mirror Translation? Okay, is it in there? I just found out about this translation when I was down at the Southwest Convention, and Brother Jerry Seville was talking about the Mirror Translation. So while he's talking about the Mirror Translation, I'm on my computer ordering this Bible. Praise God. Right while he's preaching. There we go. And notice this. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse as consequence of our failure to keep the law, in that His cross, He consecrated the total curse. Now, it should say curse. I put cure up there. I made a mistake there. The total curse of the human race upon Himself and His abandoning to death as He absorbed and dissolved the horror of the curse in His own person. And Scripture declares that anyone hanging on a tree embodies the curse. That's Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you go back to Galatians 3, verse 13 in the King James, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Say, Christ has.
Christ has.
Okay. Now, people say, why do you have people repeat things in church? That's how we learn. Amen? Hey, when you're in grade school and you learn 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, you said it over and over and over again. Amen? How many of you know it's still ingrained on the inside of you? Okay. Well, more than anything, we need to get the Scripture on the inside of us. Now, the Lord's been dealing with my heart about the blessing of Abraham, how it belongs to you and I. Let's break this down right here again. Christ has. Now, is that past, present, or future? That's past tense, right? A lot of people, they talk about redemption as if it's off in the future, in the sweet by and by, you know, that pie in the sky mentality that when you die, then you can receive this. Okay? And it's just amazing to me because people have written songs, and I grew up, I was telling you about this last week, I grew up and went to a church, and it seemed like everything that they sang about had to do with the future. You know, we'll be blessed one day when we get to heaven. Well, what about the sweet here and now? Does God have things reserved for you and for me on this earth? Absolutely. And you don't have to die and go to heaven in order to receive your inheritance of what belongs to you. Jesus died for you. He was raised from the dead to see to it that His will come to pass. Now, just like in the natural, if you're in a family, you know, and you're in the will, when does that will kick in? After they kick off, right? You understand what I'm saying. When they die is when the will is enforced, right? Jesus is the only one that died, rose again from the dead to see to it that his will is carried out in our lives. Think about that. Now, the Bible says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word redeemed means this: ransomed, delivered from bondage, distress, penalty, liability, by paying an equivalent. Jesus delivered us from, I like that more than anything. Jesus delivered us from bondage. Okay? Now, the key is we have to have knowledge of what he did for us in order to tap into it. Amen? You know, it's the same thing. You know, if you have, let's just say you have $100,000 in your bank account, but you don't know about it, and you don't have a computer to check it, you could be starving to death when in reality you have $100,000 in your bank account. Does everybody get that? You have to have knowledge of what belongs to you in order to tap into it. And there's also a legal way to tap into it as well. How many of you have a bank? You have money in your bank. It's everybody here. Okay, you understand. All right. How many of you know that that money belongs to you, but there's a legal process whereby you can withdraw that money? If you walk up to the teller and pull your gun out and say, I want my money, they're going to haul you off in a paddy wagon somewhere and put you behind bars, right? You could stand in front of the bank at the ATM machine and say, give me my money right now, screaming at the top of your lungs. It's not going to come. There's a legal process in a way that you have to make that transaction so that you can receive what rightfully belongs to you. Now, in the kingdom of God and the things of God, God has He's already provided these things. The scripture says in Peter that God has provided for us all things that pertain to natural life and our godly life. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. But the doorway to receive that is by faith. Amen? I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I want you to see that Jesus Christ became the curse for us. He took the curse for us. Now, when it says the curse of the law, now I want to just go over this just a little bit here, because last week we talked about what is the curse? If Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law or breaking God's law, where is that found and what is it? Well, if you're taking notes, just write this down. If you're not taking notes, take notes anyway. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we see, and we'll have time to, in the next few services to get into this specifically. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's the curse of breaking God's law and there's also the blessing. Okay, they're written side by side. But the curse is threefold: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. In other words, eternal separation from God. What is the curse of the law? Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Jesus took that curse for you and for me that we might receive the promise. Now, if you take the opposite of that, for example, what's the curse? Poverty. What's the opposite of poverty? Wealth. Wealth. Okay. That's the blessing. What's the opposite of sickness?
Health.
Health. Okay. And what's the opposite of eternal death?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Well, that's just like a coin right here. You turn, there's two sides of this coin, right? Mm-hmm. One side's the curse. The other side's the blessing. Now, Jesus took the curse for you and for me so that we could take the blessing. And that's what we want to talk about here, because as a church, as a body, you know, the world is watching us. People are watching us. And they may not understand what's going on inside you spiritually because they can't see that. But when the blessing's upon you, they can see something different on you. Do you know that? They can see something manifest in the natural, praise God. And God wants to bless you spiritually. He wants to bless you mentally. He wants to bless you in your marriage. He wants to bless you in your relationships. He wants to bless you in your financial life and in your body. Hallelujah. And Jesus paid a dear price. Now, I was meditating on this and I was praying about this and getting ready, preparing my heart and talking to the Lord about this. And I just felt, I felt God's heart. It was like God was saying, Keith, he goes, tell the people how much of a price that I paid for them. Show them the enormity and the depth of the price that I paid so that you could walk free. So that's my prayer this morning, is I'll be able to communicate to you the price that Jesus paid for us. Amen? Oh, my, my, my. So the Deuteronomy chapter 28, that is the curse, poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. And I said this last week, Jesus became our great substitute. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 21. Are you ready this morning? After all, we're sharing good news today.
Amen. Okay.
This is not bad news. This is good news. Amen. So go ahead and get excited. Just receive. You can smile a little bit. Receive. Amen. Praise God. They say it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Did you know that? So a lot of people working real hard. But just smile and receive what God has for you. Look at this verse right here. Jesus became our substitute, for he hath made him. In other words, God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Sin, Jesus didn't sin. He didn't commit sin any more than you and I committed righteousness. Jesus became sin. And I'm going to show you scripture here in just a minute here. You'll see in Isaiah the price that he paid for us. But I want you to see here the great substitute. Jesus took your sin. You know, there are people that think, and there are religions across the world that think that they have to suffer and they have to torture themselves to get right with God. There are people that cut themselves, make themselves bleed because they think, well, there's a price to pay and I better pay it. Folks, let me tell you something. You can cut yourself up into 20,000 pieces and that's still not going to be enough to pay the price. Amen? That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus paid that price. He suffered. He bled. He paid the price for you and for me so that we could walk free. Do you know that? See, religion, that's why religion says, you know, you got to work your way to these things. You have to attain like you're graduating into righteousness. In other words, if I'm going to go to heaven, I got to do certain criteria. I got to do certain things. There's nothing that you could do. There's nothing in the natural you can do to make yourself right with God. Well, Pastor, that sure leaves me in a predicament. Well, the good news is Jesus paid the price for you. Are you with me? He paid the price for you. He became your substitute. He went to hell so that you wouldn't have to. And all our job is to believe on him and say, you know what? He paid the price. I believe that. And when you do, something supernatural takes place on the inside of you. It's called eternal life. So Jesus became, verse 21, he became sin who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Someone says, yes, Brother Keith, when we get to heaven, we'll be made righteous. Listen. There are no, if you're not righteous now, you'll never go to heaven. Oh, come on, Brother Keith. No, if you're not righteous now, you won't go to heaven. Amen? See, righteousness simply means right standing with God. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and you said yes to him, it just... Even right now in your seat, you can get saved just like that. It's not hard. It's easy. All you got to do is say this with me. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Cleanse me.
Wash me in your blood. That's all it takes right there. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved in your house, Acts 16:31. But righteousness simply means right standing with God. Do you ever notice how the enemy always tries to mess with your right standing? You know, there's times, you know, you're going to pray about something and this thought will come to your mind. I better not pray. I don't feel real righteous today. I feel like a worm in the dust. You know what I'm saying? And it's this unworthy feeling coming to you. You know, that's called condemnation, number one. Scripture tells us that there is now, therefore, in Romans 8:1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, all the condemnation was laid on Jesus, not on you. He became your substitute. Now, sometimes when you start to say what the Word says about you, see, the Word is a mirror. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror. And when you look into a natural mirror and you hold it up, it tells you what you look like physically. You know, is the hair out of place? Is it a bad hair day or no hair or whatever? You know what I'm saying? How many of you look in the mirror every day? You don't even think twice about it. Okay? Well, that mirror tells you what you look like physically. Well, there's a spiritual mirror called the Word of God. And that mirror doesn't tell you what you look like physically, but it does tell you what you look like spiritually. And when you look into the mirror and it says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ, something in you initially will say, that's not me. I don't feel righteous today. But you know what? You are righteous today. The Word of God is a spiritual mirror that tells you what you look like. And it says in 21 there, it says, He, Jesus, was made to be sin for you and for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. When I began to say out loud, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, something within me says, that ain't you, brother. I'm talking years ago when I first started saying these things. Now, if God calls you righteous, what should you call yourself? Righteous. If God calls you holy, what should you call yourself?
Holy.
Okay? Now, there's a false idea that people say, oh, I'm not righteous, I'm not holy. That's actually slapping the blood of Jesus in the face, because His blood made you worthy. Amen? And if you're not worthy now, there ain't no way you're going to heaven. But the good news is the blood of Jesus made you worthy from all of your sins. I don't care whatever you could have been a serial killer, but if you come to Jesus, you know, you come to Jesus, He wipes out your sins as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that good news? Oh, the grace of God is so vast and so wide and so deep. Praise God. But I'm sharing this to say this to this today, that Jesus took our place. He took the curse of spiritual death. Now go to Isaiah 53 for a minute here. Now Isaiah prophesied this scripture here approximately 500 years prior to Jesus coming in the flesh. So in other words, the Spirit of God came on Isaiah. He's looking down the road, okay? He's looking down the road and he sees some things in the Spirit. He prophesies them. He writes them down by prophetic utterance, okay? And you'll see real quick that when we read this, he is definitely talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Sean had talked about this when he was sharing about scriptures and things being fulfilled that were written, okay? This is one of those scriptures right here, okay? All right, Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness that we should see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Amen. He was despised, rejected of men, a man acquainted with sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4 says, Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, in the Hebrew, the word griefs and sorrows means sickness and pain. That's exactly what that means. And we're going to see another scripture that will bear that out in the New Testament in Matthew. But I want you to see that. Verse 5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for whose iniquities? Our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what is this? I mean, who is he talking about here? None other than Jesus, right? When Jesus, prior to going to the cross, he was led to the Roman whipping post where they had a cat of nine tails with sharp bones and glass and things, sharp objects that were tied to those cat of nine tails. And every time that those 39 lashes that Jesus received would not only hit his flesh, but would tear off the flesh. Okay? The scripture tells us that his visceral image was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. I mean, the movies can do their best, you know what I'm saying? The Passion of the Christ, they did their best. That was bad. It was actually worse than that. It was so bad. But he did it for you and for me. And Jesus took those cat of nine tails to his back, those 39 stripes. And what's it say right here? Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, in order for us to obtain peace, that's what it really means, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, Peter quotes this. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter says, by whose stripes ye were healed. This is not a healing service today, but if God wants to do it, that's fine. Amen. Amen. We'll just talk about the price that Jesus paid. He redeemed us from the curse of spiritual death and gave us spiritual life. He redeemed us from the curse of sickness and pain. Say what, Brother Keith? I never heard this before. It's in the Word of God. Now, you're looking at a man that's received healing several times in his life by just believing what the Scripture says. Not because I'm anything special. Jesus is special. As we look to him, we can receive the benefits. There's no need for two of us to suffer. Jesus took those cat of nine tails on his back 39 times, and he paid a price for me. Then why should two of us suffer? You know what I'm saying? He took it for me. He took it for me. He took it for you. And when you understand and you're thinking, you think, okay, I'm pretty smart. Jesus took my place so that I could take his place. He took my sickness. I take his health. Well, how do you do that? How do you take that? You do it by faith. Amen? Psalm 107 says, you know, let the redeemed, verse 2, I believe, says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can you bring that up, brother? I know that's not in it, but Psalm 107 and verse 2. Oh, my, my. The price that he paid for us. Bless the Lord. Notice this. Let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Can you go to the next verse there? Well, we'll go back to verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's what we're supposed to say. I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Say, I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Now, a major part of our vision as a church is to proclaim the good news of the price that Jesus Christ paid for you. You will not hear bad news when you come here. If it's next week, next month, 2 years from now, whatever. We won't be in this building, of course. Amen. But you will receive information that's good news, but you have to believe that news. But it says, let the redeemed of the Lord. We're supposed to say something. Yes. We're supposed to say something. What are we supposed to say? I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's what it's basically saying. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You can say I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from lack. I'm redeemed from oppression. And it's when you begin to realize Jesus became my substitute. He took that oppression so I could take his peace. Whoa, that's a mighty thing, isn't it? Do you know you never have to have another down day in your life? People have faith in seasons of depression. Pull the blinds down. Try to help themselves out. Go eat a big piece of chocolate cake. Go sit in a room in the corner for a while. The only thing that's going to do is put sugar in your body and make you fat. Are you with me now? Not opposed to chocolate cake. You understand what I'm saying? We had some good cake last week. It was really good. But what I'm saying is Jesus paid a dear price for you. He sure did. Now, that verse 5 says of Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Okay? Now look down at verse 7. It says, Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, talking about Jesus, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." I was reading that one time. I thought, you know, Jesus shut his mouth so that I could open my mouth. Because Jesus, if he would open his mouth, boy, I'll tell you what, here comes the angels. You know what I mean? But he had to shut himself up, said, no, he became the sacrifice. He was paying a price for us. Okay. Verse 7, "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shear is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare this his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made," and notice this is really important right here in verse 9, talking about Jesus here. "He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death." Now see the word death right there? If you have a margin in your Bible, you might show this, but it's actually deaths, plural. If it shows that in your margin. How many have a... Okay. "He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his deaths," plural. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus not only died physically, he died spiritually. Now, for some people, that's blasphemy. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, Jesus didn't die spiritually. Listen, if Jesus hadn't, now he's not there now, but if Jesus, it's so black and white. It's so right in our face here. If Jesus hadn't have died spiritually and gone to hell, we would have had to do that. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the whole reason he came. He died not only physically. Physical death kicked in, and then spiritual death. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, right before he died, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do y'all remember that?
Yes.
What's that all about? Was he delusional or something? No. Why did he say that? Because Jesus... Nothing. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Jesus died spiritually. That means he went to hell, but he didn't stay there. He was only there for 3 days and 3 nights. And when he was raised from the dead, he paid the price for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful? He paid the price for you and for me. There's two more scriptures I want to look at before we close here. But in Matthew chapter 8, let's go over there, Matthew chapter 8. Praise the Lord. We're just going to kind of look at some scriptures today and the time left that we have. The price that Jesus paid for us. He took the curse. So he took spiritual death. How many of you here believe on spiritual eternal life? Okay. Listen, you don't have to work for it. I think that shocks some people. I've shared with people before and that are out there in the world, out there on the streets at times, and people think they have to pay for their sins. Are you kidding me? The only way you can pay for your sins is to go right to hell. But Jesus did that for you and for me. I keep coming around to that, but boy, I'll tell you, this is the good news. Amen? This is the gospel. But in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, we'll start right there. It says, "And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever." In other words, Peter's mother-in-law. She was laying there sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Someone said one time, well, that's when Peter denied the Lord, when he healed his mother-in-law. No, that's just a joke, just a joke. There's some good mother-in-laws out there, amen. Praise God. You know I'm just playing, okay? You understand that. Okay. But I want you to see right here that verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left her. There's so much life in his hand. He just touched her. And we have to have that kind of faith. When we touch people, something's going to be released on the inside of them. I mean, the touch of faith. Amen. And it says, and she immediately arose and she ministered to them. Amen. She didn't go out and start playing tennis right away. What did she do? She rose up and she ministered to them. Okay? And notice verse 16 says, and when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. I guess the word got out. Awesome. Peter's mother-in-law got healed supernaturally. That was a great fever. It left her. As a result, all these people started coming. Demons are being cast out of people. And all that came to them in verse 16 were healed. Yeah. Oh. He cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Well, guess what? The same way he cast out demons is the same way he healed the sick with his what? With his word. Okay? You and I, when we understand the authority that we have in Christ Jesus and what belongs to us, the authority is in your voice. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
Say so. Amen? The problem has been, and I believe it's getting rectified, we're getting help in this area, is that when oppression and stuff comes against us, we need to open our mouth and we need to say something back. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
We need to say. Now I was thinking about this in Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written. Mm-hmm. Now where did we hear that phrase before? Jesus, when he faced the devil in awful combat and temptation, what did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. It is written. He took three scriptures, mm-hmm. put them in his mouth, like ammunition and a loaded gun. And then when he said what the Word of God had to say, the enemy left him.
Yeah, amen.
Well, Jesus is showing you and I how we are to operate in this life. This isn't just like deity stuff, you know, don't touch this. This is for professionals. Don't try this at home. You know what I'm saying? Like people say. No, Jesus is showing us how to operate by using word spoken out of our mouth, releasing it into the situation.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 17. Well, it talks about casting out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, wait a minute. Who's he quoting right there? He's quoting Isaiah. He's quoting this Isaiah chapter 53 that we just read. And see how it says, Jesus took your infirmities and he bore your sicknesses. Amen? Now, I never understood why some Christians fight for the right to be sick. But there are Christians. And you'll find that out sometimes. You know, you go through life, and I don't believe there's anybody in here in this room. But man, I'll tell you what, if I'm sick, I want to get healed. And when I heard the good news years ago that Jesus not only took my sins, but he took my sicknesses. I remember the first time I've ever received healing was I shared this before many times, but I had these terrible allergies in my eyes in the springtime. When the pollen was at high count, oh my goodness. The way it would affect me, I'm telling you, it was so tormenting. It just eyes would water and itch beyond measure. You couldn't scratch it to heal. You couldn't do anything to help it. It was terrible. It got so bad that my eyes would almost close up because of it. Well, long story short, I started getting around a church like this, and I started hearing good news about Jesus taking my sins and my sickness and disease. And I tell you what, once I got enlightened up here and in here, I began to say, you know what? I've been putting up with this for years, and I don't have to put up with this anymore. And I got a holy anger about me. There's a holy anger too, amen? And I just, not towards any person, but towards the enemy, I said, you know what? I'm tired of you messing with me. You know what I mean? You walk up and you push him, amen? He said, I'm tired of you messing with me. And I began to speak out loud what the Word of God had to say. And I said, it is written, by His stripes I am healed. Satan, I command you to take this allergy off of me right now in Jesus' name. And within 30 seconds, every symptom disappeared. Like I always said, I was on I-70 at the new Stanton exit, getting ready to get on the turnpike. I can tell you, I can show you the spot. In fact, my family gets tired of hearing about it because every time I drive up there, I said, there's the spot right there. This is the area where it happened here. And God is my witness. Every symptom left. It disappeared like a bird would just fly off your shoulders. Just left. Now, why did that happen? Because you're some special person? No. Jesus is special. Jesus is special. And He loves us. And He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He had stripes on His back for you. He took that oppression for you. Amen. And when you believe that, something supernatural is going to take place. But notice in Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Himself took our infirmities and He bare our what? Sicknesses. And when He was quoting that, that's when people were being healed. Okay? It's such a blessing to know this, isn't it? Glory to God. I have to jump or something here. Amen.
Take a lap.
Lake some energy out here. Walt, where are you, brother? There we go. He took a lap last week. Amen. That was a victory lap around this place. Praise God. We serve a living God, don't we? We're not talking about a dead religion here. We're talking about a living Christ, Jesus. Amen. All right, can you handle one more scripture? Go over to Luke 13. So Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. The penalty of breaking God's law. Jesus redeemed you and me from this curse. And then we saw in Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, you're heirs according to the promise. So if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed, you're heir according to the promise. Let me tell you something. There's some cool things, really awesome things in Deuteronomy 28 when we understand what the curse is. Do you know one of the parts of the curse is that you would begat sons and daughters, but you wouldn't enjoy them, that they would go off into captivity? That's a curse. It's like a big sigh of relief, amen? But let me tell you something. Parents, grandparents, you have authority in your children's life. I don't care how old they are. You have authority in your kids and in your grandkids' life. And you don't have to lay back and settle for the devil to come and run roughshod over your kids and just mess with them. You don't have to do it. Now, you got to be an enforcer. It sounds like a movie. But you've got to be an enforcer, and you have to enforce the law of righteousness and say, Satan, you take your hands off my child. You take your hands off my daughter, my son. You will not mess with them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus over my kids right now. Don't buy that lie that, you know, because people talk. You know what I want? They try to compare horror stories. That's what people, and there's like a false comfort with that. They compare horror. You know what my son did? Well, let me tell you what my son did. You think yours is bad? Listen to this. And they both walk away from that, and nothing has been solved. It's just gotten worse. But let me tell you something. If Junior's acting up, if something's going on, You use your authority. That's the curse. It says you'll beget sons and daughters, but you won't enjoy them. They'll be led off into captivity. Okay? Listen, there is not a son or a daughter that the enemy hasn't tried to come at. Okay? Temptation comes to every person. Every person. But this is the time, folks, listen to me. Hear what I'm saying here. We have to know our covenant. And if I'm redeemed from that, that means I can enjoy my kids all the days of my life. That doesn't mean they don't make mistakes and stuff like that. Okay? But we have authority. Amen? The curse is sickness and disease and lack and poverty. Listen, when you come to Jesus, you can kiss poverty. We're going to see some scriptures, not today, but you're going to see some of the things that Jesus provided for you. Now listen, it's not too late. Someone says, oh, I wish I would have known this 25 years ago, for Pete's sake. I wish I would have known that 25 years ago. I could have enforced. Listen, it's not too late.
That's right.
Amen. Don't let the enemy beat you up over the head saying, well, I 25 years ago, if I would have known this. Listen, you can't change anything. You can't go backwards and change it. There are things I wish I could change. I wish I could go back. But, you know, the news is you can't. Nobody can go backwards and go back 5, 6, 10 years ago and change what you did. So don't beat yourself up. Okay? God can redeem the time. That means He will make up lost time. Okay? And I'll tell you, that young man, that young woman that maybe you've had problems with, they become a mighty man of God. They might have been led off in captivity, might have had wrong influence, wrong friends and what have you, but it's not too late, because if God gets a hold of them, I'm telling you what, and what they're really yearning for, what that child is really yearning for, that grandchild or that son or that daughter or those grandchildren, what they're really yearning for inside of you is to be that person, that mother, that father, that grandparent that will stand up in the spirit and say, enough is enough. I'm drawing the line in the sand. You know what I'm saying? You draw the line and say, I've had enough. I'm not operating on the curse. I'm going to enjoy my children. Now, what's the curse? You'll beget sons and daughters, but you won't enjoy them. They'll be led off into captivity. What's the opposite side of that? That means you'll have sons and daughters and grandkids. You will enjoy them, and they will not be led into captivity. Okay? Now, some of you need to hear that, because you understand the fact you're redeemed from the curse of sickness, and that's good, and that's noble, and that's mighty. But listen, don't stop there. Begin to realize Deuteronomy 28 lists all the curses. The blessing is just the opposite. The blessing says you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, blessed are your children. Oh, yeah. Blessed. Say, I'm blessed. You know, when Jesus, we look at the salutations in the epistles, for example, and we religiousize everything. We say, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. You know, and people have religiousized that. But what is Paul doing? He started every letter and he ended every one of his letters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that because he wanted to use some words just to fill up the letter, make it a little bit longer? Nope. He had a revelation of the grace of God. Listen, in a nutshell, Jesus is the grace of God. He is everything that you could ever want, need, or imagine. You didn't deserve it, but that's what grace is all about. Jesus paid that price for you. Amen. And when Paul says grace, he's saying empowerment. Jesus is that grace. You didn't work for it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But Jesus gave it to you anyway. He gave you that mighty grace. Whew. My goodness. Amen. I'd felt it up my spine that time. Amen. He paid the price for us. And I got to hurry up and read this because we're out of time here. But in Luke chapter 13. My goodness. Can I put a few more cents in my parking meter here? All right, Luke 13, this is it right here. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, that's Luke 13, 10. He was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, That's a long time. And it says, she was bowed together. She could no wise lift up herself. So here's the picture. This woman is like this for 18 years. Can you imagine that? But it says she had a spirit of infirmity. A demon spirit was behind this. All right? Oh, where do we see this? And she was, verse 11, she was bowed together, could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Now here's compassion. Jesus looks out and he sees this woman. He says, come here. Compassion led him to say, woman, come here. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, you are loosed from thine infirmity. Now, wait a minute. She's still bowed over. And he said, lady, you're loosed. And verse 13 says, and he laid his hands on her and immediately, say immediately.
Immediately.
She was made straight and glorified God. I don't know about you, but if I was bent over for 5 minutes, that would be enough. 18 long years. Are you kidding me? This is a real lady and a real story, a real place. This is not a parable. This actually happened. This was a real woman. She's in heaven. You will see her someday. He laid his hands, verse 13, on her. See, there's power in your hands in the name of Jesus. And she was made straight and glorified God. Now, verse 14 says, and a ruler of the synagogue answered with anger because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Bless his heart. And he said to the people, there's 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. See how religious people act? They get mad because someone got healed. In verse 15, the Lord Jesus answered him and said, you hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? Now, here's the verse I want you to see right here. Remember, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. He says, ought not this woman being a daughter of who?
Abraham.
Ah. Whom Satan hath bound? Here's a revelation. Who makes people sick?
Satan.
The curse of sickness came after Adam sinned. But the author behind it is Satan. But Jesus said here, this is amazing to me. He said, this woman ought to be loose. She's a daughter of Abraham. In other words, she had covenant privileges, covenant rights. But she wasn't acting on it. And this is a picture of some Christians today. Are you with me? You're a child of God. You're Abraham's seed. You're an heir according to the promise. If you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed. You're an heir according to the promise. Man, I'm telling you in the spirit right now, I see the blessing of God just overtaking you guys.
Yeah.
Just being overtaken.
Thank you, Lord.
One day I was driving somewhere. And I was on a highway. I was on actually Route 79. And all of a sudden I was taken over by some motorcycles. Not literally, but I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw them. It looked like a mile away. Within 2 seconds, they must have been going 150 miles an hour at least or more. And I saw it in my rearview mirror and I thought, here they come. All of a sudden, it was like, well, in the spirit realm, you're going to be overtaken by blessings.
Amen.
Those blessings are going to chase you down. Amen?
Yes.
And I boldly declare in the name of Jesus that health and healing is yours.
Yes.
Just take it now.
Yes.
Just take it. It belongs to you. Amen?
Amen?
Just take it. I boldly declare for debt cancellation.
Amen.
Supernatural debt cancellation.
Amen.
Well, the Holy Ghost will come into your life and move and maneuver situations. Angels maneuver in situations where you become debt-free supernaturally. Get that car paid off real quick. Get that house paid off supernaturally. You don't have to wait 30 years, bless the Lord. Go God can do it right now.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's all pray. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed, that we are set free. Praise God. I release that blessing into each and every one here, Lord. As we leave today, we take that blessing with us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.